For the second year in a row, a red flag secures pole position for Charles Leclerc. But he'll be glad this time it's not his car that was in the barrier. Welcome back to episode 199 of the Grid Talk podcast. My name is Lou Edwards, and today we're going to be reviewing qualifying for the 2022 Monaco Grand Prix. Joining me today, we have Warren Shaw from the Paddock Pals podcast.
How's it going?
Olivia Cairo from the Chicane Crew.
Hello.
And Jawad Yaqub from the Hit the Apex podcast.
Hey. Hey, everyone.
So, we'll start with you, Warren. Charles Leclerc on pole. And even though this time the red flag didn't really make much difference because he has been flying throughout qualifying, and he was definitely the one to beat out there. I mean, his lap times were just incredible, and only that red flag just secured what I think we all knew what was going to happen today.
Yeah, it did. And that first lap he put in Q3 was a 111.3. You always hope you get like the, hey, you get like three people at the line just getting for pole. He was clearly, what, 0.2 up on everybody. I was like, boy, he took the drama out of this one. What a great lap that was at the beginning. I was kind of disappointed that he took a little drama out of it because I want maximum drama. But that was an incredible lap there in Q3. And I would say it was well-deserved. It was interesting. I'm in the States, so I didn't see FP3, but I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter like, oh, Perez, he won FP3. Maybe he's going to nick this quali out of it. And he was pretty quick, but Charles put the foot down and was like, nope, I'm getting pulled again. And it was an incredible lap in Q3.
It surely was. And Olivia, at the moment, he has his teammate lining up alongside. I'll get everyone's point of view on this as well. But Carlos Sainz put his Ferrari in second place, then put his Ferrari into Perez at the end of that session. I mean, give me your thoughts. He was having a great qualifying, but do you reckon he'll get a penalty?
I don't think he will get a penalty, but it is nice to see Carlos back up quite close to his teammate after the struggle that he's had so far in the season. So hopefully it carries on throughout the race. But I know he's mentioned that he's been suffering from the porpoising, and hopefully that doesn't also carry on. But I don't think that he will have a reprimand or a penalty for going into Paris. I do think it was very split second. So I don't think he was really paying attention to the yellow flags. So I don't see why he could have any issue.
I mean, it was split second, Judd. He said himself on the radio and then in the post-race interview as well that he saw it incredibly late. And the reason why he spanned the way he did is because he absolutely slammed on the brakes trying to avoid Perez's car that was kind of stranded in the middle of the track. But there have been some on board showing that there were yellow flags already being shown before he went into Portier. So it's really going to be up to Stewart's discretion of, was there enough time to see it? You know, was there a chance you've seen it, or did he just miss them completely?
Yeah, it'll be a tough.
I definitely think you're right on that one. Oh, sorry, was that you, Gerard?
No, I thought I heard my name. Sorry,
it's okay. Olivia, if you want to talk for us, and then we'll come to.
I agree with you completely. I just think that I don't think he was expecting to see the car that early on into the turn. So I think that's why. I'll leave it to Joanne now. Sorry.
And Jared, what was your thoughts on it?
It's a tough one, especially with the way stewards have been making decisions this year. So we did talk about it just before. Off air, Lewis Hamilton back in Austria a couple of years ago, falling afoul of a similar penalty, and the fact that Red Bull had to protest that the following day, I think it was, before the race, with some 360 onboard footage to actually show that the yellow flag was waving, or the double wave yellows, for him to get that grid penalty. So, yeah, we might not know till tomorrow, really, before the race, if this is going to be some kind of penalty. But I'm with Olivia. I feel like it's not, it's kind of not necessary given the circumstances in which this happened.
Yeah, and quickly, Warren, what were your views on it? Do you think there is much debate for a penalty for Sainz? Because considering that this has become a big debate because he is only now one reprimand away from a 10-place grid penalty.
I think it'd be quite hard to be got a penalty. You have to go on split-second decisions and everything. I think it'd be quite hard to be got a penalty.
Right. Okay. But then, Joe, we'll come back to you and say, third place, Sergio Perez. And he's had the measure of Max, not just today, but yesterday as well. He's really looked quick around here, but there are going to be some questions around the Red Bull garage of whether or not that gearbox, is still, workable after quite a hefty shunt into the wall. But if he is able to continue P3 ahead of Max at Monaco, it's a good job by Perez, given how quick Max is usually around this track.
Yeah, it's pretty great for Checo, and especially after last weekend as well. I'm sure under the visor, he'll probably be feeling a bit filthy with the team orders and everything, and will want to get one back on his teammate, even though the team will say that there's been talks and they've cleared the air and everything. So nothing like a bit of pride from Checo, and I like seeing that. The gearbox is definitely a big question, whether it'll be good to go for tomorrow's race. Again, like last year with Leclerc on pole and then crashing the car, we didn't find out until the outlap that there was a problem with that. So, we'll have to sweat on that overnight and into the race itself. But if he's good to go, then, it'll be interesting to see how Red Bull play the race with their strategy. Will they favour the car that's ahead on the day, or are they going to think about the world championship and favour the championship leader, which is Verstappen in this instance? But Perez has been excellent this weekend and just all season so far, if you don't mind me saying, he has been, delivering the way that Red Bull have wanted him to deliver. Last year there were times where people were out to get him and saying, he's no better than the drivers that they've had in the car before. But this year, we're definitely seeing the kind of driver that Red Bull have needed in that car for quite some time.
Yeah, he's definitely put up some nice bit of competition. And I think Red Bull will be very grateful for that, especially in their constructors' battles. Warren, we do now need to move on to Max. And he doesn't seem to be that comfortable with the car. Red Bull have tried a lot of setup changes, tried to make him feel that a bit more comfortable, but he just doesn't seem to have the grip that the Ferraris have. And it's shown because he's just not been on the pace, really, of either Leclerc or Sainz or even his teammate, who just feel a lot more at ease and feel a lot more comfortable to push the car.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite surprising, isn't it, that he's off the mark by this much, especially to Perez. You don't really see him get beat by Perez this much or be off the pace this much. It's not a confidence thing. I think it's just got to be a car setup because, we saw him win last year. It's just quite surprising you saw when he got out of the car, he did not want to talk to anybody. He went right to the garage. He was mad. I mean, I don't really know what to chalk it up to other than I guess he's not feeling it in the setup is what they have. I think that's pretty simple.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be hoping either for a Sainz penalty or maybe something with his teammate to get him onto the front row tomorrow because he did seem quite far off. And Olivia, we'll move on to P5. Lando Norris, still slightly suffering with tonsillitis. It's not as bad as last weekend, but P5 done a great job. The last time he was P5 in the Monaco Grand Prix, finished third. Probably less likely this year, but with a wet race tomorrow, potentially, we could see another Lando Norris podium in Monaco.
Definitely. That is something to look forward to. It is quite amazing how he qualified in P5 again. I would have to say that it is nice to see him pushing the McLarens ahead and obsessing that he doesn't have the support of his teammate, but especially to do with how his health is looking right now, P5 is quite tremendous for Lando.
Yeah, it's very good. You're right to bring up where his teammate is. And I think we'll get onto that a little later with Daniel Ricciardo. But, Joe, we'll move on to the first of the Mercedes, George Russell in P6. Now, the Mercedes saying very confidently last week that they have fixed their porpoising issues and come to Monaco, and that car now looks incredibly bouncy once again. And it's cost them a lot of lap time. They've gone from looking very competitive to George Russell, I think P6 is a mega effort for him, given just how far off the pace they've been most of this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know if they completely fixed the porpoising issues as they made us to believe in Barcelona. It still seemed through some of the slower speed corners they were having a bit of porpoising happening there. So maybe that's why it's affecting them a lot more this time out. But again, to see George ahead of his teammate, seven-time champion Hamilton, quite good. And yeah, only, you know, considering where they are with their car, 7/10 off pole compared to where Hamilton is. He was, I think, 1.1 seconds off pole position. So great job from Russell again. It's going to be solid points if he can hold it tomorrow, pending what happens at the front, you know, pending what happens with the weather as well. He's, you know, if he can keep up that record of finishing top five every race this year, he'll be laughing, especially coming into a weekend where Mercedes did think it would be a bit difficult.
Yeah, we'll talk about Lewis Hamilton and his issues that he's had in a bit. But first, Warren, we have to talk about Fernando Alonso. People kind of forgot that Fernando Alonso also put it in the wall at Mirabeau at the end of that session. But other than that, a very solid showing, not just from Fernando, but by Alpine in general, both cars into Q3. The car has looked quite settled. And again, Fernando's managed to make the most of it and put himself ahead of his long-time rival, Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, no, great drive from Fernando. I've been saying that, like, in Australia, he could have got on the podium after qualifying. Like, it's there. He just needs to extract out of it. And seven today, I would say, for him is a great result. I mean, Alpine, I would say they have to be, what, the fourth fastest car on the grid right now? Just based on the two of them, I think they're faster than McLaren, or maybe they have two better drivers than McLaren has two right now. So that's why they're showing it off more. But I mean, Alpine, I think they're probably like the top of the best of the rest. And in my opinion, this is a great, great drive from Alonso today.
Yeah, it truly was. People are currently questioning whether or not he's going to be in the sport soon. But if he keeps doing these results, I'm sure our people want to stick around. Olivia, Lewis Hamilton, P8, 4/10 off his teammate. It's been strange because he's really struggled with the car. He's struggled with controlling rear tire temperatures, just not having the good feel for it. And that's the whole thing about Monaco. If you don't have a good feel for your car, then you're not going to be quick, because you need that confidence in your car to set quick lap times. And he's just not been there.
Yeah, no, it really hasn't been there. And you can hear it in his voice in the team radio whenever he calls in. It's quite difficult to hear. It's quite difficult to watch as well how much he's struggling in the car, just like you said. But I will have to agree with Jawad in how he said that Mercedes hasn't really gone around their porpoising issues, and it's starting to show more this weekend. And just like you said as well, in Monaco, if you don't have a good feel for the car, then it's going to show and it's going to progress throughout the weekend. So I don't know if it's going to be looking really good for Lewis tomorrow. Hopefully, with the miracle of rain, he's able to turn P8 into a high position, maybe even a podium. I hope so. It's not looking like it will be, but definitely does not look like Mercedes is in a good place right now from Hamilton's point of view. But yeah.
Mm. he'll definitely be hoping that his sort of mastery of the wet weather comes in handy if it does decide to rain. And hopefully the team will make some good decisions. Judd, P9 for Sebastian Vettel. Previously, Sebastian Vettel has never finished outside the top five in any race he's ever competed in Monaco in Formula One. And given just how bad this Aston Martin's been this season, and given even where his teammate is right now, down in Pier 18, P9 is just it's amazing, really, isn't it? It's like it seems like a weird leap from Vettel.
Look, it was a shock to see his name jump up into the top 10 towards the end of Q2. But as much as, you know, I've been hating on Aston Martin this year and their performance, I was, you know, happy for Seb to get in there because, as you say, his record at Monaco is impeccable. And it just reminded me of the Vettel of old, kind of, you know, pulling together those really good laps. So, you know, yeah, 1.3 seconds behind pole position, that's kind of where they are, probably a bit ahead of where they should be when you compare it to where Lance Stroll is. But it's going to be a nice little battle or little DRS train, if you want to say, with Alonso, Hamilton and Vettel all bunched up together. How many world championships is that? 12, 13 championships all in 7th, 8th and 9th. So that'll be a good one to watch. So, you know, hopefully they can hang on there for some points. And, you know, with where their battle with Williams at the moment, it will be important to edge a bit ahead if they can.
Yeah, they definitely need to take every point that they can get, and with the bonus and benefit of Monaco being a difficult track to overtake, I'm sure that Sebastian Vettel will want to make his Aston Martin as wide as possible to not let the likes of maybe Ocon, who should probably be faster than him, or even the likes of Tsunoda or Bottas behind. But yeah, Warren, we'll move on. Esteban Ocon, P10, it was his slowest lap that he set in Q3 out of all of the qualifying sessions. So he probably didn't get a clean lap done. And then, of course, then the red flag would have probably cancelled any chance that he had to set a better lap time. But it's still in the points. And as we've already discussed, being in the points in Monaco on a Saturday is crucial just because of how hard it is to overtake.
Yeah, no, for sure. I always find it interesting when a team like Aston Martin or like Alpine get in Q3, how they don't put out like the banker lap. I know they're trying to, they just wait to the last minute, try and get that one lap in there. I always find that interesting, I think, how they do that. So that's kind of what they did today, I think. But also like with the threat of rain in the forecast tomorrow, I mean, who knows what, like, I think that's a truly unknown when we look at the grid right now. Like, I mean, a normal dry race, you're in 10th. That's great. You should probably secure some points. But with the threat of rain and like the unknown tomorrow, like we don't really know what the order could look completely different at the end of the race than what it is today, just based on how difficult or how the conditions are. It's quite fascinating here.
Yeah, of course, Monaco. It's sort of famous for wet races in the terms of, you think back into the 90s when Olivier Panis won. Only three cars finished that race, so I'm sure Ocon, if a repeat is to happen this year, Ocon will want to be one of those three drivers to finish the race. So, Olivia, now we're sort of outside of the top 10 now. Yuki Tsunoda in P11. Now, I think when we talk about Yuki Tsunoda, we need to talk about this weird red flag that we had in Q1. He hit the inside of the barrier at the Nobel chicane, brought out a red flag, and it kind of screwed a lot of drivers beneath him. And I think he'll be very grateful for the fact he managed to even get into P11.
Definitely. I think he lucked out on that one. But just like you said, the premature red flag came out of nowhere. It was just a puncture, but I do think that it was kind of like a prepare for worse situation on the marshal's point of view. But it did really screw over a lot of people below him, like Kevin Magnussen and people. But I mean, he's lucky because he's on the outskirts of the points, so he kind of could edge his way into the points, but I do think it's interesting that he's above his teammate for it's quite rare that he qualifies above his teammate, but it was quite the odd Q1 session, I will say.
Yeah, very odd. P12, Valtteri Bottas, Jawad. Bottas has not had a great luck this weekend. Friday's running was cut down for some issues, and then he's just not had that time in the car, really, to probably get the car set up as he liked, and P12 was the best he could do. Is there... with it really sort of being unpredictable tomorrow, what's actually going to happen? His chances of points are quite low.
Yeah, and considering coming into the weekend, there was this talk about how they could be the surprise packet for this weekend and how a podium for Bottas and Alfa Romeo might be the best thing that ever happened this season. So that's totally gone out the window unless we have an absolute bonkers race. But like you said, yeah, he doesn't seem to have any luck at the moment during the practice sessions on Friday, to the point where he's actually joked saying, oh, I told... my team boss, Frederick Vasseur, that I might just rock up to Baku the next race Friday night and just completely avoid the practice sessions. But yeah, they had a problem with their MGUK and had to replace that. And the gearbox, again, like not having enough time in the car, like he's not had in the previous races too. So obviously that's going to show eventually, as skilled as a driver as Bottas is, and, you know, particularly around Monaco, where, like we were saying earlier, you've got to have that car right to your liking and fine-tuned to the absolute, you know, have it to perfection. Otherwise, yeah, you're going to miss out on top 10, and once you miss out on the top 10, that could be your race done and dusted in 12th. But still good on him for getting it that far up. But, yeah, you know, it's kind of disappointing knowing that we could have seen it a bit higher, like he has done in previous races this year, and it's been good. But yeah, we'll just have to pray for a miracle for Valtteri.
Yeah, I think the same can be really said for like the next five drivers that we know sort of come across. With Warren, we've got Kevin Magnussen in P13. You know, Haas aren't the quickest car out there, but you know, P13 is respectable, and if this was any sort of normal race, we'd probably be going, well, he's got a shot at points. But again, like Bottas and like Sonoda, they're going to be hoping for something big tomorrow. You know, maybe a safety car, which goes in their favour, maybe weather that goes in their favour, or a few DNFs, if they're really going to score any sort of points.
Yeah, no, I agree. And Haas, really, after last week, I mean, both cars make it to Q3 last weekend. This week, they're both out. I don't really know what's going on with Haas. It just seems like they didn't bring upgrades last week. They just go at the beat of their own drum. I'll tell you, they are just out there doing whatever. But yeah, no, you just gotta hope. Maybe do a little rain dance tonight. Get some crazy action going on to get in the points. But like you said, pretty much the next four or five guys, they're all in the same situation, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Haas have announced that they're not actually going to be bringing any upgrades now until France, so it's going to be...
What are they doing here? Maybe I need to go to fly to Charlotte and see what they're doing. Or like, what are we doing, Haas? Off to such a great start. I know you got some... I know they got a good break in Bahrain with a couple DNS, but what are we doing here?
Yeah, we don't know. It's like last year. It's like last season. Or you can say about Haas in pretty any of the seasons that they've been in F1.
Apart from first.
Right, Olivia. Now we move on to P14, and there sits a lonely sort of Daniel Ricciardo with a teammate in fifth. It doesn't look good, and he's just isn't working at the moment. He's just not finding that that pace that Lando has in that car, and it is now starting to sort of beg a lot of questions whether people want to sort of believe them or not. But you know, surely at some point we're going to see Ricciardo come to grips with that McLaren. It's got to happen at some point.
Yeah, it is sad to see. I don't know. He's struggled to adapt to the car since he joined McLaren. And I guess now with the new aerodynamic regulations, it kind of adds on to the stress that he's been put under. But it's sad to see that questions on his driving ability are being brought up and people discussing whether his contract would be can be voided and other possible people coming in. So I don't know what he can do at this point, but you kind of have to have high hopes for Daniel in that he could possibly come back. And if there is a place to come back, it is Monaco after 2018 win. So you kind of have crossed fingers as you watch, hopefully the rain again. The rain is really the banking thing that everyone's banking on, the rain for everyone this weekend. But you do hope that the rain comes in and kind of turns things around for Daniel, hopefully brings him closer to his teammate, if anything. But it's not looking really good for him right now.
No, and I was going to ask you, Jared, sort of like maybe next year with Ricardo going, you may be looking to maybe someone like Oscar Piastri for your Aussie in F1, because if things do continue this way, it does look like McLaren might look somewhere else.
Oh, look, at least I've got hope that even if Ricardo moves on, we've got two young Aussie drivers on their way up. You know, one, Jack Doohan, of course, racing in F2 this year, son of Mick Doohan, the MotoGP world champion. And then, of course, Oscar Piastri, who's sitting on the sidelines there with Alpine. So, it's not like we'll be sad, but it is sad in the respect that, you know, Ricardo has been such a great driver for such a long time. And when you look at his record at Monaco too, he's got two pole positions, which, you know, pole position around Monaco is quite a mean feat. And then you look at that race in 2016, which we were talking about, which would have been a sure victory if it wasn't for that bung pit stop. Would have been two wins for him there easily. So, yeah, you know, Monaco would have been the circuit for him to get the act together. But when you get your team principal talking about options in the contract and, you know, the fact that he hasn't met expectations and stuff, then it does look pretty dire. So, not sure how this one's going to pan out, but going to try and be optimistic and hope that he can get some results in the upcoming races, because that's the only way he's going to be able to see that third year of his existing contract.
Yeah, and, you know, like McLaren, you know, they've got so many so many fingers and so many pies sort of around motorsport now, with the Formula E team that they're now buying into, their IndyCar setup and Formula One. They've got such a plethora of drivers to call upon, like Pato O'Ward. We'll see how he gets on in, you know, the Indy 500 tomorrow, and, you know, as well as just other drivers that they can call upon. So it'd be interesting to see how this sort of pans out. But Warren, hate to come back to you on Haas, but Mick Schumacher in P15, you got to feel at some point that his time to get into Q3 is going to come, but maybe just not this weekend.
Yeah, well, maybe it's in France and they bring the upgrades like they said they're going to be. But I agree. It's he got in last week. You got to think it's going to be coming soon. I also said that I don't think this is really something that's an original take, but I mean, he's on like the George Russell path, I think, when we saw him at the beginning of his Williams career. Because me personally, for Schumacher, I last year's a watch. This is like his true rookie season to me in a competitive car. So he is like Russell in the early stage when he got into Williams early. Like, he's still trying to figure things out. And like, we're all like, hey, when's George going to get some points? Well, when's Mick going to get some points? I mean, it's coming. He's had a couple chances. Last week he tried, but the strategy wasn't there. Like, it's coming, but maybe obviously it's probably not going to be this week. But that's how I equate Mick this year so far. Like, a true rookie season. Last year, I don't even know. Yeah, he just got track time, I think. That's how I equate it last year.
Well, if there is one positive to look at Mick Schumacher, last year's Monaco Grand Prix saw just the one on-track overtake throughout the entire 78 laps. And that overtake was made by Mick Schumacher on his teammate, Nikita Mazepin.
Yes.
So fingers crossed that he could possibly, I don't know, I don't think he could pass Daniel Ricciardo, but we'll see.
I was going to say most people forget he did the overtake because we didn't see it live. I mean, it went to the meme of all memes, so you forget that he was the guy that did the overtake there.
Exactly. That last year's race is very much summed up by them cutting to Lance Stroll. And
yes,
I think the less said about the TV direction again this year, probably the better, because I could be here all day. So we'll swiftly move on, Olivia, to Alex Albon, who almost looked like he could really take advantage of that red flag. He set quite a good lap time, but then he missed out on Q2 by just under a tenth, which is remarkable given that he was almost a second faster than his teammate.
I know. It is quite nice to see that Alex Albon can come back and spread his wings in the Williams, because it did feel like he was quite restricted in the Red Bull. But I do think that it's upsetting that he couldn't break into Q2. But hopefully the good luck from the red hair comes back tomorrow and the rain again. But yeah, no, he does keep on extending past his teammate every single weekend. And it's interesting to see how the difference between both drivers. But yeah, no, Alex does look like he's doing what's needed for Williams at this point. But unfortunately, it wasn't enough to get him closer to a points situation for tomorrow. But who knows?
Yeah, true. It's anything can happen at Monaco. However, it doesn't always mean that it does. P17, Pierre Gasly, Jared, and we've already discussed with Yuki Tsunoda that he was the one who lost out the biggest from that mess of a red flag in Q1. And yeah, he's been fast. Like, there's no doubt that Gasly does not deserve to be in P17. He has been very quick this entire weekend. He's been up there with the McLarens and the Mercedes. And he is going to be gutted that he's all the way down in P17 with a very, very small hope of points.
Look, it would have been the miracle that they needed. To me, AlphaTauri haven't had the greatest season so far in terms of results. And Pierre Gasly, who, you know, last two seasons has been one of the most consistent performers. He's been scoring points at will, you know, winning races, being on the podium, whatever. And for some reason this year, it just hasn't been that great for them. So this is a huge missed opportunity. I don't know from all the way down where he is at the moment, P17, if there's going to be much hope of getting into the points. I mean, if there is the usual attrition and safety cars and wet weather chaos, then there's a chance. But, you know, we can't count on that helping all the drivers that we want to get into the points. So it's just, yeah, the red flag basically, you know, ruined his run, and just going to have to lick the wounds now and hope for a better run in the next race.
I mean, he was literally meters from the line when the red flag came out. He is so unlucky that it happened. And yeah, I think he may as well just pack his bags and have them ready to the next next race, because it's unlikely that he's going to get much out of this race. Then P18, Lance Stroll, Warren. I'm not Lance Stroll's biggest fan. I've never have been. And to be honest, this just further confirms my thoughts of Lance Stroll.
Yeah, look, we got a daddy's money in 18th and 19th going into Monaco. So yeah, only thing I know about Stroll is he had quite the scream on team radio that made me do like a double take on it. But he maybe he was unlucky with the red flag. I don't really know, but I mean, I don't think there's anything much else to say about Lance Stroll. He's kind of underperforming, I think, this year, but the car is not great. And so P18, I think anytime he gets out of Q1, it's a good drive from him. But this is not surprising for me.
Yeah, Stroll was able to set a lap after the red flag. I think he was one of the last drivers over the line, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, he just his lap was just not good enough to get him out of Q1. And given where his his teammate is in P9, he'll be very very disappointed. And yeah, P19, Nicholas Latifi, Olivia. I mean, what can you say? I think he'll take the positive in the fact that he's not last.
I think so. There's not much you can really say because he does seem to be really comfortable in the Williams and in the positions that he continues to be in, which is either 19th or 20th. But it's interesting also to see the conversations that are going around about his contract. It doesn't even look like it is enough to push him to keep going further. There was quite the odd team radio in this session, or I think it was in one of the free practice sessions, that kind of was pushing Latifi to follow Albon and kind of learn from Albon in how he progresses along on the track. But I don't think there is much you can expect from Latifi at this point. There's questions about Nyck de Vries replacing him, maybe a Roy Nassani, I don't know. But at this point, it doesn't seem like there's much improvement for Latifi, and it's sad to see both Canadians following each other in the bottom right now.
Yeah, I mean, you got De Vries, who is a Formula E world champion, and Roy Nassani, who is currently P9 in this F2 race. But I would definitely want to choose Williams choose De Vries over Nassani, given some of Nassani's questionable racing that I've seen from him just this season. And finally, Giles, we move on to Zhou Guanyu, P20. Didn't get set a lap time, any sort of competitive lap time in Q1. And yeah, that kind of just sort of left him out to dry at the back of the grid. He's not had a lot of luck in qualifying this year.
I don't think he's had a lot of luck in general this year. I mean, I was looking at the last couple of races for him, and having two mechanical DNFs on the bounce in Miami and in Barcelona, it's kind of hoping, he could have a clean race. And even if it is running outside the points, at least see the checkered flag this time. One way of going about it might be to start him from the pit lane, for example, just to avoid any kind of chaos at the start of this race. It is his first Monaco Grand Prix in Formula One too. So, maybe throw some new power unit components at it or a new gearbox and see if they can stay out of trouble for this one. Because, yeah, I think just seeing the checkered flag for him at the moment will do him a bit of good confidence-wise. Because, yeah, apart from Bahrain, I think, where they scored 1 point, they haven't had any points finishes this season when you look at the performance relative to Bottas. But we didn't expect, Zhou Guanyu to be out driving or even matching the pace of Bottas, but in a car that has been proven to be in the top 10 in qualifying and the race, you would hope that they'd be a little bit closer as well. So I think just trying to stay out of trouble tomorrow will be the important thing for the rookie.
The sort of the things that come with it with a rookie season. You've got to make your own luck in this game sometimes, and I think he's finding that out the hard way. But we've been through all 20 drivers now. It's time for the good old prediction section of this, and Warren, we'll start with you. So we'll start with podium predictions first. So who's going to be on your podium tomorrow?
All right, So on our podcast we did, I had Hamilton on the podium. I was buying the Mercedes hype is what I was doing, and I'm not a big Lewis guy, so I was throwing those fans a bone. But I'm gonna I'm going to stick with it. I'm not a flip-flopper. I know it's probably an outside shot there, but I said it on Thursday. I'm going to go with what I said there is going to be Charles, Sainz, and then we'll have Lewis on the podium, just because I'm not a flip-flopper. But if I was a flip-flopper, I would say we will get Charles, Sainz, and Max on the podium.
Okay. Olivia?
I think I'd have to go with Perez, Sainz, and Verstappen podium. But that's just me being spicy. I don't know.
But you know, no, the Charles's Monaco curse is yet to strike this week and so far. So
it's sad. I really want him to do well, but I'm going to have to stick with what's been going on previously. And thank Monaco is happening again. But yeah.
That's fair enough. John?
I'm going to say that the Monaco curse has been lifted after crashing the Niki Lauda Ferrari, so it'll be Charles Leclerc to win. Second, Max Verstappen, and third, we'll have our boy Lando Norris coming in to have another podium after last year.
See, I'm kind of with Warren in this prediction because I said all the way back in February that Max Verstappen would win the Monaco Grand Prix. And I'll be damned if I don't stick with that. So I'm going to put Max to win. But then behind him, I'll say Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz. But I've got to stick to my guns. I can't be seen to step down.
Yep. I was just going to say, hey, Max could end up starting second. Exactly. Done, so it's not that far fetched. If things go his way, he could be starting second.
Exactly. We get to actually hear anything about either of those two things. So we still have to find out tomorrow what happens with that. And then finally, we'll now move on to bold predictions. Warren, we'll start with you again. Give us your bold prediction for the Monaco Grand Prix.
All right. Well, my bold prediction was that Vettel, we were going to get in the points. I'm going to go even bolder. He's never got a top. He's always finished in the top five. He's going to get a top six. We're just going to say he's going to get a top six tomorrow. We're going to add it up there. So Vettel in the top six.
Okay, then. Olivia?
I think I'd have to go with George on podium. Hopefully first as a bold prediction, but that's really bold. So I'll just stick with George on podium.
Bolder the better. We love it here. And John?
Oh, hard one. I reckon, given the current predicament for Daniel Ricciardo, I'm going to say he's going to finish top eight, getting the points.
Fair enough. I usually have my usual bold prediction of Latifi for points. but this is just seems a borderline on impossible. I'll stick with it though, because it may happen. It may happen. He could do an Olivier Panis, and then everyone will quiet down all the Latifi haters out there who don't rate him as a driver. And I imagine 90% of the F1 community don't. And given it's Monaco, we'll do our last one. So as I mentioned earlier in the show, there was one on-track overtake in the entirety of the Monaco Grand Prix last year. So excluding ones that happened in the pit lane, excluding any DNFs. So we'll work backwards. We'll start with you, Joanne. How many on-track overtakes do you think we're going to see tomorrow?
So there was one last year. Let's say six.
Six. Okay. Olivia?
I think I'd go with five.
Five. Six. Warren?
I was gonna say five as well, but I'll up the ante to seven.
Seven. bold. I'm gonna go like four, and I think they're all gonna happen on like the first lap. Yep. So that brings us to the end of this show. If you are listening to the show live on YouTube, you'll know that we live stream all of our shows. And if you're not subscribed already, make sure to subscribe and hit the bell notification so you get notified every time that we go live for one of our shows. And if you're not listening to us on YouTube, come subscribe. And also you can ask us questions in the comments and you can interact and also get to listen to our podcasts early and as they happen. So make sure to come over, subscribe and hit bell notifications. We're also, of course, available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Omni Studio, Verbal, as well as the F1 Chronicle website. Just search for the F1 Grid Talk podcast. And also you can check out the write-up for the qualifying on the F1 Chronicle website as well. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we'll make sure to give you a shout out on our next show, and any and all feedback on our podcast is much appreciated. We have a huge back catalog now, so if you're stuck with something to listen to between now and tomorrow afternoon before the race, we have now almost 200 shows that you can listen to, including interviews from Mario Zola from Pirelli, as well as more documentary style podcasts, not just race reviews. So feel free to check them out. We also have a Patreon, so if you'd like to give support the podcast and help towards better mics, lights and recording equipment for all our hosts, any support is greatly appreciated. And you can also get some official F1 Grid Talk merch at the f1chronicle.com/store. I would show you my mug, but I don't have it with me. Now we'll move on to our guest. So let our listeners know where they can find more of you. So Warren, where can our listeners find more from you?
Yeah, we're the Paddock Pals podcast. My cousin and I, Rachel does it. I think she was on the Miami Quali one. We are on Apple, Spotify, Google Play. You can follow us on Twitter at Paddock Pals, and we will do a Monaco recap tomorrow after the race too as well. So go check us out wherever you get your podcasts.
Brilliant. And Olivia?
You can find me on the Chicane Crew podcast with two of my other friends, Yuri and Marcus. We'll be doing a Monaco review as well on Monday.
Brilliant. And Jawad?
Yeah, so I've got my Hit the Apex podcast, which you can find on iTunes, Spotify, Google, pretty much all the good podcast platforms. On Twitter as well, at Hit the Apex Media. And we'll be doing a Monaco Grand Prix review later in the week as well. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a episode with none other than Steve from Shakedown. Hi, Steve, if you're listening. Also a member of Grid Talk, and that was good, talking about the Bathurst 12-hour. So that's a good one to go back into my archive and check out as well.
Brilliant, thank you. I want to thank all of my guests for joining me today. And tomorrow we will be back for the race review at 5 p.m. British Summer Time, live on YouTube. But until then, stay safe and goodbye.